Tell you what I'm going to do. So I'm going to go back to the beginning of where I started this message, because I'm not quite done with it. One or two more places that I'm going to go to on this series. Boy, I need your prayer today. I really do. I need your prayer today. But I told you 1 Corinthians 10. Now, if you want to follow along with me, you can turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 as I read this. And I want you to remember that what this series is about. As I had told you last week, I think, 1982 on a Sunday night, God brought me down to this altar down here, and Preacher Golf came down and said, "Mike, what are we praying about tonight?" I said, "I think God's called me to preach." Had I known that night the mistakes, the sins, the failures that I would have gotten into after that, I would have never surrendered. I would have never done it. Because I would have said, there's no way that I'm dragging God and His name through the mess that I'm going to make out of my life. There's no way I'm going to do it. But God was faithful. And God knew. The Bible tells us that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. That means if God really called you to salvation, He's never going to be sorry that He did. Doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter if you backslide. Doesn't matter if you turn away for a while. Doesn't matter if you get off into sin for a while. If God calls you, He's never ever going to be ashamed that He did. And He's not going to repent that He did. So understand that if all the young people, both here and online, listening to me, if I could just encourage you as I go through these messages, please hang in there. Hold on to salvation. Hold on to that Bible. Don't let it go. Don't exchange it for a college degree. Don't exchange it for all the money in the world. Hang on to it. Let me read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible." That means that once God has reserved your spot, boom. That means He's going to sweep it out every day to get the cobwebs out and the bugs out of it until you get there. It's incorruptible. It'll have a new car smell every day. How's that? He says, "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire." And I'm here to tell you, it will be tried with fire. How many of you already know that? You've already had that fiery trial. Well, let me tell you something. There's a worse one coming. Far worse. The one you went through was nothing compared to this next one. Verse 8, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. That means that hopefully the day you don't need faith anymore is the same day that God finally takes you out of this earth and you don't need faith anymore. Amen? Because faith has become sight. Now that's what you want. You don't want to lose faith too soon and then the day of your death come and all of a sudden you don't have no faith in God no more. You stop trusting Him. You quit believing in Him. You didn't count on Him anymore. And let me say this. I don't know if I've ever preached on this before. I may have taught on it once or twice or whatever. But some people question about suicide. What about suicide? Can a Christian commit suicide? We have three examples of three people in the Bible who took their own lives. In every instance, they were abandoned. Saul of Tarsus had an evil spirit. God took His Holy Spirit out of him, and an evil spirit from the Lord came into him. We know that Judas Iscariot hung himself, and Satan had entered into him personally. And then there was a man who used to be a counselor to David and accepted in the king's sight, but he decided to go with Absalom. He went on the wrong side, and he went with Absalom, hoping to gain some high position in Absalom's kingdom, thinking that Absalom was going to end up ruling the kingdom instead of his father David. And then he realized that his counsel was not being accepted by Absalom. He was a traitor to the cause of David, and not even Absalom was going to use him. And he went home, got his house in order, went out and hung himself. And I cannot tell you, if you're asking me, boy, I think, you know, if it gets too bad, I'll just kill myself. I'll just go to heaven that way. I wouldn't count on it. Don't trust that. And don't let anybody else tell you that it's okay. Don't do it. Now, 1 Peter chapter 4, look there very quickly. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore him let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Don't give up on God. Just because you said, God, I need You to show up now, and God didn't show up now, doesn't mean that God ain't showing up. God's going to show up when He's ready, when it's time. God's going to show up. He's going to save you. He's going to pull you out of here one of these days, and you're going to be in heaven with glory with Him forever and ever. Somebody say amen. Hebrews 11, verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, Abraham's faith was tried, offered up Isaac. Not kill Isaac. God didn't tell him to kill him. It's verified here that God told him to offer him. And that's exactly what he did. Offered him. He laid him on the deal of the altar. He laid him on the altar. And the moment he did that, he fulfilled exactly what God said. Because God said, offer up Samuel for a burnt offering. The NIV says, Abraham, sacrifice thy son for a burnt offering. God lied. Don't read the NIV. How come I didn't get a bigger amen than I got a little bitty squeaky amen? That's getting better. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, then in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also received him in a figure. Isaac was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ being sacrificed on the cross for all of man's sins. And Abraham was willing even to plunge the knife into his only begotten son, believing that God would raise him from the dead. That's faith. James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Now listen to me now. Everybody listen. Blessed is the man. I'm going to preach to a lot of you men and some of you women. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Now I'm going to ask you a simple question this morning. Do you love God? I wasn't done. Hang on, Noah. Do you love God more than you love your sin? Now, 1 Corinthians 10. And in this, I am going to have to open up my Bible, too. I can't read that. It's too small. 1 Corinthians 10. Moreover, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication. This is what I'm going to preach on this morning. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Now, you're going to see something that looks like a contradiction in your Bible. What's rule number one? There are no mistakes in the Bible. What is rule number two? Blah, 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 blah. If you think you found one, refer to rule number one. Because you're going to see what scholars have said was a mistake in the Bible. Verse 8 again, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them all committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed as serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples. They were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Let me read the next verse. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Now, as I say this, everybody look up at me for a minute. Men, and even some of you ladies, the lust of the eyes is a very difficult sin to overcome. very difficult sin to overcome. Unless you're blind, your eyes are going to fasten upon something that's going to cause you to lust after it. When I've said the 10th commandment is the one commandment, you might say, I didn't commit any of the first 9 commandments this week. That makes me a pretty good person. I guarantee you, the 10th commandment, you broke. I guarantee you, you broke it. Okay? And it has to do with lust of the eyes. Now he's saying here, there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Those of you, there's been people that have called me from the internet. And I've listened to their confession. And I've heard people tell just about everything under the sun. And I've told them it's a very common sin among men. It happens. And this world now, the way we live in this world, it is happening more and more and more and more. With the internet, with everybody having phones, tablets, computers, you name it, the ultimate will be when they put the deal in our brain and you can get 24 hours a day, 7 day a week, porn poured right into your brain. You don't think people wouldn't give their right arm for something like that? I'm telling you, they would. They'd sell their house and kids for that. And that's coming. That's coming. Sure as I'm standing here today, that's coming. Such as common to man. But God is faithful. Say that out loud with me. God is faithful. Let's say it one more time. God is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with all temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. God made a way of escape for Joseph, didn't He? When Potiphar's wife came to him, probably half naked, to entice him, to draw him. And when she enticed him, he said, your husband, my master, has given everything that belongs to him into my hand. The man doesn't even know how much he has saved the food that's on the plate that he eats every night here in his own house. I know how much he has. He's a very wealthy man. He's put me in charge of every bit of it. And you want me to sacrifice what I've got now by laying with you? You're crazy. And God provided a way of escape for him. And he did prison time for it, didn't he? Hey, just because you do the right thing don't mean there ain't going to be consequences. He got persecuted, but look how it ended up. He ended up being second in command of the entire world. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, where am I going to my notes now? Turn to, let's go to this story now that this is dealing with. Numbers chapter 25. When we get there, we'll stop, we'll have a word of prayer, and we'll ask God to bless this 15-minute sermon I'm going to preach. Don't none of y'all believe that, do you? You never know. I might just get you out of here at noon. Numbers 25. Huh?
Jan just called him Bonnie.
Bonnie just passed away. Let's go to prayer. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your kingdom. Blessed be your timing, O Lord. It's always good. It's always right. Father, I'm glad that she got to hear Mansion Over the Hilltop. I'm glad she got to see her church one more time. And now it's our turn to go and see her. Father, we ask God, Lord, that you just bless Roy. Give him grace. Bless Sister Jan. Thank you, Lord, for letting her be there. They were good friends. And Father, I pray, dear God, Lord, that you would just visit with them both. And just give them encouragement. And Father, Lord, we give you thanks for what you've done. Thank you, God, for taking her at such a time as this. We love you. And Father, we've seen a mighty work, Father, that only you can do. Help us, dear God, to never forget, Father, what we just witnessed today. Help us to never forget that as long as we live. Just how good a God you are to your people. Thank you, Lord, for hearing us when we pray. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. Now, I am going to preach through this very quickly, but I have some things, obviously, to attend to. Numbers chapter 25, I want you to look at your Bibles. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. Now I want you to look at your Bible. Numbers 25. They begin to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. See, they didn't just commit physical whoredoms with the Moabites. They fell into their religion. Listen to your preacher for a minute. Your sin will determine your doctrine. Do you believe that? Your sin will determine your doctrine. You'll change your outlook on the Bible. You'll change how you see the Bible. You'll forsake the King James and go to these other ones just to allow for your personal sin, because you know in these other Bibles it's toned down. Especially the sin of sodomy. Toned way down. So that it's practically impossible to be guilty of what is in the NIV to be guilty of. Where in many places where they have the word sodomite, the King James, in the NIV they say shrine temple prostitute. Well, that's nearly impossible for most people to be a shrine temple prostitute somewhere. So they say, well, bless God, that's not me. But I'm telling you, your sin will deceive you and it will change your doctrine. You will begin to tell yourself, I can do this, and obviously, since God is letting me get away with it, He must favor me. There are preachers on Christian television, TVN, whose lifestyles are full of adultery. They're full of hand in the money pot all the time, stealing, robbing money from people, and think that because God is letting them get away with it, that it must be okay and God won't get them for it because God needs them to preach the gospel wherever they go. They're so important. God won't hurt them. But what does the Bible say? Be sure your sin will find you out. They called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down their gods. And Israel, watch himself, Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor. Let me tell you who Baal is. Baal's the Antichrist. This is a prophecy. Baal's the Antichrist. Baal Peor is the Antichrist. And the people, Daniel chapter 2, verse 43, will literally join themselves with Baal Peor, and they will become one with their God. Do you believe that's how it's going to happen? I do. That is exactly how it's going to happen. And it's going to happen that way because of sin. People would rather keep their sin, follow their sin, hang on to their sin, not let go of their sin, keep quiet their sin, than they would to give it up, let God have it, let God forgive them of it, let God put them on the right way. They would rather do that. And what God's going to do is God's going to allow them to join themselves with other gods. As I mentioned here last week, week before last, pastor that I talked to a couple weeks ago, his sister was there at the church, and she said, Pastor, I got a son. I raised him up in a fundamental King James church, raised him up in Christian school, raised him up, sent him off to 4 years of Bible college, and all of a sudden now he's turned his back on everything. He's worshiping Thor. He's worshiping Odin, the Nordic gods. He's worshiping all that stuff. And I didn't say this to her, but it just occurred to me. I guarantee you, that's not what all he's doing on the internet. Right? What else do you think he's doing? No, don't say it. There was an article that came out a couple of years ago. Josh Duggar got caught because he was going to one of these dating hookup sites and somebody had hacked into that site's database and found his name, phone number, IP address, home address, everything about it. They found out that the Josh Duggar was going to these places online and making hookups. And an article came out too long after that said, watch porn much, expect that your name will be released one of these days by hackers. And I read the article, and then I read the comments underneath it. You know what the comments said? Guys were saying, so what? In fact, I'll list in the comments the sites that I go to. What do I care what people know about what sites I go to? We've gotten to a place to where people, they do not hide their sin, just like Sodom didn't hide their sin. Their countenance showed and revealed their sin. They're not ashamed of it anymore. Verse 4, and the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be judged away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. To hang someone was the worst way for a Jew to die. Why? Cursed is every man that hangeth from a tree. Now look at verse 6. Behold, one of the children of Israel came. Listen to this now. Let's see. Let's think about this for a minute. What was it? The Cavanaugh Free Will Baptist Church out in Oklahoma. And the pastor's doing threesomes. And while he's on a quote-unquote mission trip to Mexico, his wife sets him up to have him shot and killed when he gets home. And sure enough, the other male part of the trio came into his house after he went to sleep, used the preacher's own gun, shot him in the head. The wife made it like it was a home break-in. But after they pressured her, she told the whole story. They got all the evidence. They got the footage from the hotels that they were going to, the receipts, the payments that were made. They caught that preacher red-handed, but he got killed over it. So look at verse 6. Behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent. So this guy grabs a woman while all this is going on. God was sending a plague in. This guy grabs a Midianite woman, takes her into his tent while all this is going on. While everybody's watching the guys be hung, he's going, boy, now would be a perfect time for me to take advantage of this. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through. The man of Israel and the woman through her belly. In other words, the man was on top of the woman and the guy just drove the javelin, stuck it through both of them while they were in the act and drove that javelin into the ground and stuck them there. Opened the door of the tent and said, hey, everybody, looky here. This is how God treats fornication. Wanted to make sure everybody saw it. And then, halfway through verse 8, so the plague was saved from the children of Israel, and those that died in the plague were 20,000 and 4,000. Oh, we got a mistake in the Bible. Something wrong. It says 24,000. Well, back here in 1 Corinthians 10, it said 23,000. So which one's right? Do we have a mistake in the Bible? Let me just make this easy for you. In 1 Corinthians 10:8, neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. 23,000 fell in one day, another 1,000 died the next day. See how simple that is? Case closed. Is there a mistake in your Bible? Rule number one. Will God expose the sin of preachers? Will God expose the sin of preachers' kids? Will God expose the sin of nursery workers, pew sitters, tithe takers?
Be sure your sin will find you out. Jack Scott, the guy who took over Jack Hiles' church. Jack Hiles has always been iffy with me. I don't trust that guy. I never liked him. And if the story that I've heard is true, he had a mistress for years and hid it from everybody. So his son-in-law, Jack Scott, took the church over. One day, one of his deacons had gone into his office, and the preacher, Jack, said, just go in my office there. I'll be there in a second. The deacon went into his office, and he saw a text message coming in, and he saw the picture of who it was that was sending the text message. And it was a teenage girl in that church that was sending him a dirty chat on his phone. And he went to prison for, I think he's in prison now, still. Because he was taking her across state lines to a place that he had up north of Hammond, Indiana, where they were from, up in Illinois. He was taking her across state lines. That's a federal case. So he's doing federal time for it. Do you think this Bible is right? 1 Corinthians 10:8, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell one day 3,000. Exodus 20:14, thou shalt not commit adultery. Matthew 5:27, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy body, whole body, should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. 1 Corinthians 6:13, meats for the belly and belly for the meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. Somebody say amen. And the Lord for the body. And God has both raised up the Lord and will also raise up by His own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two saith he shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Do what Joseph did. Run from it. Flee from it. Get away from it. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Pastor Mike, you said that we can't defile the body by what goes into it. So I guess that means I can look at porn, doesn't it? Well, let me just, I'm not trying to be graphic here, but you're right. You're not defiled by what goes in the body, but what goes in the body comes out, doesn't it? What goes in the eyes goes through the heart, and out of the heart proceedeth adulteries, fornications, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Men beg God every day, God, take this from me. God, take this from me. Now, if you come to me and say, Pastor, where's that magic key that if I had it, I'd just flip? And I actually had a young man come to me once, and he said, yeah, I heard that if you abstain like for like 21 days, then after that you won't want it no more. And I said, let me know how that works. The fact of it is, God has designed us men to be appealed to by sight. So be careful, little eyes, what you see. Beg God every day, God, take this from me. He will. Don't stop asking. Don't stop asking. He will. I promise you, He will. Don't stop asking. Now, I'm not going to have some big snot-slinging thing where all you men guilty of fornication, stand up, get down. I'm not going to do that. But I do want us to bow our heads. I'm not trying to indict anybody. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. I'm not trying to call one person out over another. I don't want to know if you're guilty or not. I don't want to know. Besides that, all the guys that are on the internet watching us, they'd be driving over here wanting to get at our altar. And I just want you to ask God, take it from you. Let's say it like this. It's a thorn in your flesh. And if it's a thorn in your flesh, God is either going to use it to keep you humble, or He's going to let it grow to let it choke out the Word, because you're not saved to begin with. Or He'll take the thorn out. If He doesn't take the thorn out, He will give you grace. Father, we come before You today. What an unusual service. Our hearts rejoice for Sister Bonnie and all of us, Father, desire to be with her today. All of us desire to be with her today. But Father, our day is coming. Roy's day is coming. Help us to tarry, Lord, while we are yet here. And Father, I pray, dear God, that every man, every woman listening to me today, God, that You would convict them. And don't, Father, please, don't take conviction away from them. Please don't do that. Because then that'll show that they've been turned over to a reprobate mind. Father, I pray, dear God, that every man hearing My voice, every woman hearing My voice, dealing with this issue, Father, daily, on their knees, crying out unto You, God, take this away from me. God, help me to overcome it. God, help me, dear God, to not give in to lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh. And Father, if I fall, please, God, have mercy on me. Chastise me as a father would a son. Because I know, Father, if You chastise me enough, I know eventually, Father, I won't want to do this no more. Father, bless Your Word. Bless these people today. Father, our hearts and our prayers and our love was with Brother Roy. We ask You to bless him now. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, Amen. God bless you. If you stand up, you're dismissed.